You've heard the buzzword for years. Scale onboarding, CSMs should be doing training. Digital is a strategy, not a segment. But here's the truth. Most customer success teams are juggling a mess of tools, changing priorities, and have barely enough bandwidth to breathe, let alone scale. That vision we've all been chasing, it is finally real. Learning isn't trapped inside an LMS anymore. It's embedded across the entire customer journey. And that's where Skilljar, now part of Gainsight, is changing the game. Skilljar is becoming the backbone of scalable self-serve learning, whether it's in your academy, inside your product, in your community, or beyond. And because it's integrated with Gainsight's customer OS, it connects to where your customer data and your CSMs already live. This isn't theory, it is happening now. Companies like Airtable, Zendesk, Okta, Miro, and Asana are already doing it, with Skilljar and Gainsight leading the charge. So if you're ready to stop duct taping your customer education strategy together, visit Skilljar.com today. Hello and welcome to C-Lab, the customer education laboratory, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, as we always say, exterminate with extreme prejudice, the myths and the bad advice that we sometimes get that stops growth of our organizations and our programs and our people and even us dead in its tracks. I am Dave Darrington, and today I am joined by Eric, mystery air friend. Say hello, Eric.
Hi, how's it going, everyone? Thanks for listening in. Calling in from the wonderfully, currently smoky today, Duluth, Minnesota.
Smoky? Okay, we'll have to get into that.
You know, we're basically Canada, but so we get their wildfires and occasionally bits of their accent.
And a little bit of syrup. Okay. We always start off with a bit of fun. That's always fun. The jokes to do about where we live. I'm in Seattle, so actually still it's August 1st and it's cool. It's amazing. Let's start off with the International Day of, and today you want to lead with it, because I know what you're going to say, because it's what I'm going to say too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing three strong contenders, but International Beer Day just speaks to me, because locally as well, we're a town of 80,000 and we've got 13 breweries. So
International Beer Day, yeah.
Yeah, although National Spider-Man Day speaks to my inner nerd and geek, and very strong contender there.
And then World Wide Web Day, of all things. Now it's kind of Spider-Man-y, but it's also where I spend most of my day, right?
Yeah.
I think all the World Wide Web? I don't even know what.
Yeah, the interwebs, or I'm sure the kids are calling it something that I don't quite understand. Skibbity this and that.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, you got the skibbity in for the day. That's one. Boy, if you're taking count. Okay. Why are we here? Why are we here today? Well, Eric, thanks for joining us. Today is interesting because we're kind of kicking off some new things around expansion of our whole community of practice. I'd like to just talk a little bit more about you, because you stepped into a role where you're picking up the work that Joe Ryan started with the Customer Education Biweekly Newsletter, which is how we've grown to love this. It's really part of our whole system. We at C-Lab are partnering with you, as are others, to make sure that you can grow it. And then you also stand up in your own right, and as a fellow, be bolded by say nerd, right?
Love nerd automation. Is accurate.
Automation. Well, heck, we just talked about a beer in Spider-Man, so what are you going to do? Want to learn a little bit more about your role at SmartCat and your background in automation AI, which we'll get through. So I'll pass the mic to you right now. Can you just go a little deeper on your background, what you're interested in, and briefly about the newsletter, and then we'll start breaking it down together.
Yeah, so currently I am the customer education manager at SmartCat, which is a global content creation platform, doing a lot of cool things with agentics in the work. So awesome. That for me means rewriting a lot of documentation, building a lot of educational content, and really helping folks think through how do you use these tools in an intelligent and thoughtful way. Obviously, AI is everywhere. but yeah, thoughtful use of it is not nearly as present as the buzzword, but we're trying to help with that. And like you mentioned, just released the second issue of the new newsletter. I was just such a fan of everything that Joe did and got started, and I saw the impact. I loved it as a reader. It made my week just easier, and I saw the community that sprung around it. So when Joe decided to kind of wind it down, I felt like I got to step up. And part of that too is making it not just a one-man show for me to do it. I'm trying to make it more sustainable, right, and doing partnerships and working together with our broader customer education community. We've got a ton of great people and a lot of great content, and there's a lot more good things to come.
I love this because we need that kind of scouting ability to go, one, look at what's happening, what's important, and two, bring context to it and organize it. Because we're all trying to attack the same thing. What we've done at C-Lab is try to niche down and focus in and bring up and identify people that are doing the great work, what you're doing, what so many of the people have been on the show. But that newsletter, that fabric of what else is going on? What is our larger community of practice? And that, to me, that's an opportunity to assert that what we mean by community is community of practice. It's not one place anywhere. It's in many different destinations. So we're casting a world wide web, huh? Casting a web and toasting a beer to where we can go. That's not a beer, is it?
No, it's tea.
It is beer day.
Yeah, it's 9 a.m. somewhere, but it is tea.
9 a.m. somewhere. Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. Well, then let's break this. Let's start breaking into some stuff. I would like for us to hold off a little bit on the newsletter and first talk. Let's talk AI. Let's talk automation. And to set this up, something somebody said to me yesterday, really directly, we were talking about this in our pregame session a little bit, is if you're not doing AI, you're behind. You're not only behind, you're a dinosaur. You're a legacy. And kind of to prompt our discussion too, in the discussion, and this hasn't been just one, so I'm smoothing a little bit to anonymize it. But there have been these cases where individuals, such as an instructional designer, just like, no, I'm not going to do that because that takes the humanness out of it and it takes all the learning out of it. If I use some AI tool, then you know it's just not right. I'm going to do things the way I've always done it. All right. That ship sailed. You're going to be out of a job, if not today, if next week, a year from now. Because, I mean, Eric, what have you seen out there that has changed your mind about AI and learning?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know so much if it's changed my mind, but because I've always been a little bit of that early adopter, a little bit of that, how do we push it? But I think what we're seeing and where this all comes into play is AI is not necessarily the replacement. And I think that's the big misnomer and big misunderstanding a lot of people are seeing. It's, oh, if I use this AI tool, my expertise as a learning expert goes out the window. My expertise as a video editor goes out the window. I was looking back at some of my really, really early stuff from even pre-ChatGPT. And if anyone remembers, there was the AlphaGo. Google had a robot that would, an AI model that would learn this complicated game. And the big takeaway for that is the biggest winner over all the series wasn't AI. It wasn't human. It was when you put those two together. And I think we're really starting to see that. And for those folks who are saying, like, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to bring into these systems, everywhere is starting to adapt it. And if you can show, I'm better with this, I know how to use this tool intelligently, it's not just a replacement for me, but I can wield it, I can make it work in a way that's going to produce better quality than I ever could as a human faster, but also better than any generic user with a prompt. I always kind of bring it back to also, like, you know, my father-in-law was a cabinet maker carpenter for 40 years. If he had a saw and I had a saw, I can tell you right now, one of those things would be worth putting things in, and one of those would not. It's also the expert using the tool. And if you bring that knowledge, if you bring your subject matter expertise to these tools, you're going to get that better result. You're going to show your value. And when everyone's looking at, oh, how do we, you know, C-suite's looking, how do we save costs? What roles can we take out or consolidate or do? If you're that person who can use AI to produce top tier work, that makes you safer.
Yeah, that safety word, here it is again.
Yeah.
But I like how you narrated that with the storytelling around your father-in-law, because that, you know, this person has this font of knowledge of how things fit together and how things need to be done. And it's just there. And, you know, I actually like doing woodworking. My grandfather was a carpenter, but I'd look at a piece of wood. How did you know to do these things? Well, you know, I built furniture and homes and stuff for a living. But now you're getting that, it's almost as if that saw has in it, imbued within it, a lot of the spirit of the carpenter. You know, you think about what AI is, but then it still needs that human touch. Like, okay, now it knows how to cut at a right angle where I'm going to screw it up.
Yeah.
And it's guiding me through the experience, right? I wanted to hook in a little bit of the through line and the recent historical impression of where we've been going over the past, and just when I mean we, just C-Lab even, and not even exclusive. Well, that's not true, because let me just read my list. We just recently talked with Randon Ruggles at Jamf and talked a lot about automation and tooling and started getting into AI. We did a recap of Gainsight's Pulse 2025, where I was just talking, I think you were too, with the Gainsight Skilljar folks. Mm-hmm. And one of them mentioned, oh, thank you so much for doing this episode. Well, we weren't prompted to do so. We did that because we wanted to. And all of this AI came out of that when I sat at that event listening. I'm just, we're all going, oh my God, folks, it's here. And are all these AI agents and all these companies, and even Gainsight themselves had four different references to chat agents. And like, I don't know how to process this quite yet. And we talked with Eric Levin, who works CEO of Regal at AI earlier. Talked to Kevin Dunn. Now Kevin's at Airtable, and he's talked a lot about AI. And in fact, he was at a couple of events, including Gainsight Pulse, talking about stuff. So you see a trend here. It's going back to this thing where if you're in our community and you are not investing in AI automation, you're going to be branded and as old school. And there's going to be decreasing opportunities for you because your leadership is going to command you to do this, right? So that was my little sidebar setup to say, if you're listening to this show and you're seeing what's in the newsletter, AI is everywhere.
Yeah, and I think an important thing with that too is we're still so early in AI. It feels incredible, and we're making dramatic progress. Every other week, it feels like some new magic power is unlocked. Well,
but GPT-5 and how the fear is around that from the developers.
It's like we're still early. I was just teaching a little AI intro session today, and I always like to liken back to smartphones. It's like, we're not the front. We don't have the front facing camera yet. We don't have the app store yet, but we're getting there. Like we just got the first fancy shiny smartphone with the screen, the three devices in your pocket kind of thing, and I think we're still early. So it's like you don't have to feel like you've missed the boat. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to catch up. It's changing so fast that if you start now, you do the basics, you learn the wording, you learn the terminology, you learn how to use it, it's easy to catch up. And the other piece with that too is when the C-suite starts to talk about this, when the conversations start to come around it, if you're able to use the language talk about the tooling, you have a seat at the table. You can show, I'm in this space. I understand AI, and you can shape the conversation to make it where you want it to be, of where do we use these tools responsibly.
I like that. You know what, something I'm going to challenge you on?
Yeah.
Is the language you use there, seat at the table. This isn't a personal thing. This is a suggestion for us as a community practice to start doing. The seat at the table concept is such customer education 101 or 1.0. And I say that because that's what we're trying to do. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the experiences that I'm having actively at Atlassian, which has been a very big challenge for me. This is a big opportunity. And what I've seen here is something that flips the script quite a lot, where there are teams around. Imagine now you're in a much bigger organization, thousands of people in your company. And we have a very important AI-based remit as a company. We have Rovo. And what is Rovo? I'm not here to sell it. Well, come on. I'm always selling it because that's part of my job. But for me, Rovo is that our AI. It is Atlassian intelligence that now brings together our entire system of work, and it does unique things. We have to lead with that. So if I don't know how to use it as me, and I'm practicing it, saying to my team all the time, we better be dog fooding our own stuff, drinking our own champagne, whatever you say. But if we're not using that every day, I went and created a Rovo agent that did certain things for my customer ed team, right? I am increasingly using it more and more every day. I'm investing in it in ways to quickly get to the information I need to help my team, but then go beyond that. We just released a video on, I thought it was actually pretty cool, about Rovo AI. Just put a link in the notes. But here's something, I have a very important question for you. In your own context, you are saying, okay, well, you're not behind. Okay, how do I get up to speed really fast then? What are the kinds of things, if I'm at zero and I want to get the hero, that are there 1, 2, 3 things I can do with a reasonable low time commitment to get me relevant? And then going back to the seat of the table comment, we're driving, not just being at the seat of the table. We don't have to be at the seat to influence.
Yeah, I think I'll jump on like 4 tangents at once. I think one, the whole seat of the table thing is, it's actually for customer education, a seat at every single table, because
there you go.
You know, with these tools, you know, we're going to see products saying, oh, why do we need a customer education? We can just have the product tool we're building do the education along it. Or marketing will be like, oh, our marketing content can be adapted. If you're at every one of those tables and you can bring education's value to that, almost the reverse of like, oh, you can use the educational content, the documentation, the pieces I'm building as part of your content for all those other pieces. That's powerful. On the what would I do if I was just getting started today? If I, you know, didn't want to do AI and suddenly I'm like, I need to get up to speed. Mm-hmm. Step one is choose one of the kind of the big 3, Google Gemini, ChatGPT, Claude. Pay the $20 a month to get that kind of higher level access and just start using it. Like, use it casually, use it badly at first. Like, don't worry about doing it right. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, write me some recipes, make me a workout plan, help me brainstorm ideas, help me do this. Start seeing where it does things well. And then kind of the next level up from that is there's some great introductory courses. Google has their, they've got a variety of like very introductory to kind of mid-level to even super advanced ones that are free. Anthropic has one of the best intros to the field that I've seen, also mm-hmm. free. And if you're lucky enough to have like a learning subscription, LinkedIn Learning is just loaded with them. Coursera is loaded with them. There is a lot out there. And even just following experts on LinkedIn, I follow a lot of folks from Zapier that are doing very cool things. Like Phil Lacken is one that I just follow all the time because it's like, you know, you're putting these pieces together and seeing it, even if it's not in our field, how is someone else doing it? You can get up to speed pretty quickly, and because things are changing so rapidly, you can just adopt the new tools that come out. There's going to be features in GPT-5 that were not present, like the agent mode that they just released last week. That was not accessible to any of us, really, except kind of.
Now you have compute power in the cloud where something can go off and do its own thing for you.
Right. Yeah. An actual, it's essentially a virtual machine running and browsing for itself. That was not really available unless you were in some very closed betas. And now anyone with a $20 subscription can start to use it. So not only can you catch up, but there's so much new stuff happening that everyone else is learning too. So join along.
Oh, I dig it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're at the precipice of, I was watching and reading some stuff from OpenAI yesterday about how Sam is a little concerned.
That is Sam's favorite marketing trick, though. Also, I'm concerned it's so powerful and it's going to be, oh my gosh, so incredible that I hope no one pays $20 a month for it. Or $200 to get early access.
At the same time, I wonder if you were the head of a company that was, I mean, you're seeing this this lighting up and this progression towards AGI, artificial general intelligence, a mind that can be running on its own time, sucking up power from our grid and doing stuff on it.
He's right. Everyone should kind of be afraid. I read way too much Asimov growing up to not know what happens when you don't give the robots good guide rails. But and I think the tricky part that he and all these other companies are in too is if they don't proceed as fast as possible, someone else will.
Right.
So it's how do we also push on that and make sure that there is that responsible usage and we're thinking about this in an intelligent way and trying to put those guardrails where we can and those responsible pieces in it as a community and the world too is there is that. And it's one of those things too of, we are going to have a future that's very different because these are powers that we have never had before.
Right.
And what does it look like when you give everyone the ability to generate amazing high level content? I think we're going to be seeing a lot of back and forth. And I think also there is those folks who say, I don't want to, use these artificial things. There's some truth to that too. It's like the human experience and a handcrafted, to get back to, my father-in-law, a handcrafted cabinet by a master carpenter is worth more than an equivalent quality mass machined piece because of the human element. I think we're going to see a little bit more of that, hopefully, of valuing the human pieces in there.
I certainly hope so, but, I don't know. I don't want to be catastrophist or apocalyptic, but the act of now I could go to, I was doing this in-app for Rovo, even. This isn't ChatGPT or Claude or anything like that. And I said, I need help. Can you go look for this? You put it in deep research mode. I don't need this right away. Go off and I want you to subsume all these different sources. Definitely use this. Look for more. Then go out to the internet and find some more. Reconcile all this. Put it in a table format. Lay it on a whiteboard. Draw out a timeline. Show me what I need to do. Summarize it and read it to me. And then do that at 10:30 today when I know I'm going to have a free time. I'll replay it at 2x. And I go, God. Thinking about the research that I did when I was in university or something, and you're pulling out books, you spend all this time. What we have at our fingertips now allows you to get context, all the information right away, mostly correct. You still have to use your human mind to filter it. But now I can go, oh yeah, okay, I understand this. And I can turn around and spin out now in the hat of an educator, someone that might be presenting, I can express with authority my understanding and use that human side to appeal emotionally and logically to others and ask answer questions and be all that much better at education. It's just, it blows my mind.
Yeah. And I think there's something there. I've got younger kids. So I'm thinking about, okay, what's school going to look like for them? And what does learning look like for them when, you know, my youngest is going to be in kindergarten in a year or two. And it's that idea, that idea of how do we teach them how to learn? And like, what's the skill set? Like, when I was going to elementary school, that's like when Google really exploded. And we went from, you have to memorize these things because you're not always going to be able to search for it, to,
right,
you have to be really good at searching for it. And is the new skill set that's going to be important, kind of like what you were describing. I need to be able to describe explicitly what I want and from where and how I want to have it and when I want to have it formatted and all these pieces that you mm-hmm. need. Is the orchestration going to be the biggest skill? And also for my own kids, I'm going to put a little bit of friction and be like, no, we're still going to practice these old school pieces that are the foundations of what's there.
Come on,
because
Dad.
I mean, as a history nerd and as like an education nerd, I'm like, the people who built the systems, wrote these algorithms, are building it with their own, you know, biases in mind for all the various things, but they're also building it with the idea of, oh, I know how to describe this. I think image generation is a great example. If I took a few art history classes, enough to be dangerous, that I can get better image generation results. And like, I'm a photographer, I can describe it in photography terms. I can talk about f-stop and lens length and focal length and all these factors that come into play to get a better result. So there is still that, you know, there's subject matter expertise to these models, and having the background that it doesn't just have to do it for you, but if you know a little bit more about your area, your focus of what you're trying to get out of the model, you're going to get a better result.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's put it in practice.
Yeah.
So the second topic we really wanted to dive into today, and I think this, what I'm going to challenge us to do today is take what we've just said. Look, we're experimenting, we're learning. I would say you're here and I'm probably, you know, I use
it. I'm ping pong. I'm going up and down. Some days I'm like, I know everything. Some days I know nothing. And
well, yeah,
much more accurate.
That's fair that we're all learning together. So now let's set up a scenario, a practical cross-functional scenario. We are part of a fabric of, I want to back into this. My mind is going faster than my tongue, as I like to say right now. Here's a real challenge that I think all of us in our community of practice, inclusive of leaders, inclusive of practitioners, which are the bulk, the instructional designers, learning experience designers, video editors, customer education experts, anybody that's in a role in this field, and then extrinsic to that, the vendors and the organizations that are coming, emerging to help us get learning in front of people. And this is where I want to niche back up out of customer ed and talk about the tapestry. And let me riff for just a minute, because I'm playing with some ideas. I love your idea, love your thoughts, and I love the audience. Hey, let's start a thread online and talk about this, because we are not just one thing anymore. We're not just customer ed. There's not just customer enablement. We have product. Okay, I'm working with product marketing managers constantly, and they're like, "Well, I need this, and I need this, and create this content." And then there is this impulse to try to dictate what that looks like and how we're doing it. Is that going to come out like a marketing material or learning? Scaled CX, okay, or a digital customer success or whatever. Massively important. And now we have this big thrust of tools that are being thrown at CSMs. Say, oh, no, you can create your own course now. Oh, my dear God, Eric, this is scaring the hell out of me. Why? Because now we have exploded the opportunity. They call this in game design and stuff a combinatorial explosion. Now anybody can make content. It's going to increase prolifically the noise, and it will be divested unless we take an active, proactive role as educators to go, whoa, slow your roll. You're going to put that content out. Whereas how are learning objectives being there? How are you driving somebody to an educational call to action? If you're just doing a webinar or something and it's, look what we could do. And then you confuse somebody at the end because you've had 10 different ideas. That's where we need AI to help shape, right? And then we come out and say, I'm here to help you. I don't have to do the work. You've got the tool. Here's the guardrails. Do this, 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 put this brand thing in there. And dude, you're rocking, right? That is the stuff that I'm worried about. How do we bi-directionally influence and shepherd and really help out this larger community of learning, inclusive of enablement, inclusive of L&D, to drive the industry? That's kind of where I think customer ed is, because we're always thinking through the lens of the true learner, the pure learner who is a customer, but that everything else is a subset. This episode is brought to you by Parda.io. Parda is a next generation authoring platform built for customer education. Okta, Personio, Miro, Writer, and many other fast-growing companies rely on Parda to stay in sync with product updates, build customer learning experiences, and manage content at scale. With Figma-style collaboration, granular branding, built-in localization, an AI assistant, seamless skill jar integration, and more, Parda lets you scale customer education the way it should be: fast, flexible, and collaborative. To learn more, check them out today at parda.io/CLab. That's parda.io/CELab.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to unpack there, but I think that the core of what I keep coming back to is these same tools that make, you know, CSMs and marketers into educators also make us as educators. Like, I can create marketing material. Like, I can create a whole social media plan to promote my course, right? I can, you know, mock up product designs and do all these pieces. I can, you know, mess with code. What I think we've got to get to, kind of as the pendulum swings back, is what's the expertise that an individual brings to the role, and how do we collaborate on that? I work very closely with one of my marketing counterpoints, and one thing that we do back and forth is I have to try to bring the educational lens to the webinars. She's going to bring, you know, the messaging, the hook. How do we promote it? How do we bring all these pieces together? And we're both bringing better questions to the table. I can say, hey, when I'm working with my AI and building these things, like, here's what seems to be the right move. And she'll be like, that's kind of right. That's close, but here's this other piece. So really, I think, let experts be the experts. And on the CSMs creating courses place, yes, my CSMs can create courses using a variety of tools. But what might even be better is, let's work together and CSMs identify an education gap. I'll come in as the education expert. And with the same tool that you can create a decent course with, I can create a phenomenal course that all of our CSMs can use. And then the customers are getting consistent experience. It's educationally robust. And the CSM doesn't have to spend, you know, an hour or two building a course. I can spend that time building a course. They can spend that time helping the customer. And that, I think, is really where we're going to maybe swing back to with AI and all these tools, is really accessing those experts and making it so it's easier to break down those silos. I think that's the one thing I haven't seen yet, but I'm hopeful for. There's bits and pieces of it, but I think AI's biggest opportunity is breaking down those silos. I always say, in automation and AI, like, anytime there's a handoff, anytime there's cross-functional information, that's a gap where information traditionally is lost. But if you've got an AI who's always, you know, taking notes, listening, can see those structures, that's a huge opportunity.
Yeah, the brain cells are freaking right now because they're thinking about all the art of the possible here. I want to laser in even more and challenge you to talk more deeply about the silo problem. Yeah. So maybe let's compress this down to, I'm working with a customer success function. Actually, you know, if I abstract this, I'm going to abstract a problem set that I've seen across the last decade in multiple occasions, which is, let's talk about that, and because the show is actively in the customer success space, this is really important. I care a lot about customer success because what we do as customer education professionals is actively integrated into that motion. We, I believe, are in charge of, or have the charge of that. Well, okay, great. You as a CSM, what's your role? And it depends on where you're at in the development and the maturity of a company. Very early on, and I've been in these very early companies, you, CS support, all that's just jumbled up, right? You don't really have the differentiation or speciation yet because you don't have time for it. So whomever is doing that is answering questions. They're doing onboarding. They're doing the whole shebang. They're doing support, and they're just overtaxed. So that starts to split and fracture as you grow, and now you start getting silos, and where people are talking less about they're doing one thing. But what I've always seen is that CSMs, I'm going to use this term, clutch, right? Hey, we have a problem. Adoption's low. Customers aren't getting it. All right, it's all hands on deck. Everybody's got to train now. Am I an educator? Nope. I'm a CSM. Could you do it? Heck yeah, pretty good at it. But now that time is being gobbled up precipitously, right? And that human capital is being consumed. So I come along and go, dude, you just hired 24 new CSMs because you want to go high touch and do this thing, and none of them have been enabled. They're all expected to know the platform and do stuff. How is this going to work? And what I can do with you, and now I could do things like prompt AI to say, in the language of a customer success manager, now I want to create a good program. Now I'm going back and forth with them so that I can build scalable content, whether that is an ILT structured thing that I can go, here, Eric, this, if you're going to really do the training live, that's cool. I've helped you to develop this, and this is what you should focus on. Don't go too far off script, stay on script, because this will be the guardrails. Or why are you even doing that? Focus on the bigger problems. And here's all the scaled content. Now you can drop this in and do a drip feed campaign, and then you're impelling customers to learn on their own rather than that clutching and trying to like, no, I've got to control this. I've got to get everybody to understand. I've got to get them in training. I've got to have everybody there. It ain't going to work. So how is that silo now being broken down, leveraging things like AI?
Yeah, I think, and I've been thinking a lot about this, because the scaled CS space and like digital, it's got 8 different names right now. Yeah. I'm probably going to call it scaled CS because that's where I first encountered it. What I'm seeing a lot with that is there's a combination of almost, data sets and problems and scenarios. And I always like to bring back to board games. I do a lot of board games. And it's if this set of factors happens, like when a new customer joins an existing account, right? They've been, the whole rest of the team's been onboarded, but they got a new hire. Mm-hmm. How do you get that person up to speed? It's a challenge I've seen in a variety of companies. And, some places the CSM is doing, one-on-one training. Some places they're sending out recordings. What I like to think about is like, how can I get that information right in front of that person at the right time? Like, hey, the first time they enter product, can I give them a guided flow that's educationally rich? Mm-hmm. And if they complete that flow, great. I've got a whole bunch of other scenarios that happen and guide them through those, those next quick wins and guide them to, hey, the rest of your team is using this part of the product. You want to see what they're up to? Or if they don't, if they're struggling a little bit, that's when you start to bring in the CSM too and bring in that human element and say, hey, like, notice that you've stumbled at this early spot. The CSM doesn't have to be watching the account. There's automated signals there. That's where the AI and automation comes into play. Like, set up your automated signals, set up your almost like, tripwires, for lack of a better term, of like, hey, this is a great thing happening that we want to continue happening. Let's build that momentum. And hey, this is something that if they don't get value in the first few tries of doing it, we need to fix that immediately. And if you've got those systems set up, your CSM becomes super strategic. They can become that person who comes in at just the right moment with just the right thing. And thinking about your question of like, oh, I got to onboard 20 CSMs. You know, some products are super complex. The prior company I worked for was data analytics. Some of our CSMs were not, you know, data analytics folks, but what we can give them is, hey, here's the primers of what you need to know. Here's our educational content. And if I was there right now, I'd index our documentation and our training against common questions. If your customer asks about this, here's some great resources, and give them that tool to ask the questions and even live alongside your like gong recordings to say,
oh yeah,
hey, the customer raised this in this call, you know, search it against this educational materials and give it to the CSM to provide for them, drop it in their Slack or drop in their email drafts box. That kind of piece is where we can start to weave it all together. And you know, as an educator and like someone who's, you know, fairly extroverted and curious, like, my favorite thing is understanding, how does this all work together? I came from higher education to SaaS. So like part of it was learning, like, how does this all work together? Like, I hadn't heard of customer success until I was actually working in customer success. And I was like, this is a weird term. But like, what does it mean? What's, you know, all the different sales pieces, like how do their day to days work? And where are those gaps in there? Like even working with sales, it's, hey, sales has the same kind of problem. They have to get the right information from someone and teach them how they can do it, right?
Right.
If you've got educational materials that shows, hey, this solves your problem, they can see themselves solving that problem. That makes sales job easier. And sales is going to say, oh, let me show you the rest of our awesome education. So it's that continuous loop of like, when you understand what other roles do, where you interact, where you can be helpful, it's going to keep reciprocating and keep building.
I love how you say that. That's actually with smart prompting and such, you can say, hey, what? Well, I don't know what's important to a customer success manager at this level. Act as a, you know, CSM for a mid-market size company that's 200 people, understanding blah, 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 blah. And then I'm setting up my discussion for that person based off of that prompt. Plus now using the native understanding that I have to solve problems as myself, right? And yeah. and it's much more, we're much more of a tapestry. I love to think of myself as more embedded, and I wish we had more of us out there, even in a learning context, that were fluidly working amongst channel partners, customer ed, you know, CS, and enablement internally and with different teams. You learn a lot. When I worked at Outreach, I learned so much about that sales persona after coming out of working at Gainsight, which is a CS persona, and then working in an integration as a service platform in between. I had this really bizarre sense of, well, now I understand how sales works and what objections are and things. But I also understand what CS struggles with. But now I'm a conduit, and I can go between all of these things, helping them craft the right learning interventions and experiences that are proactive or reactive, depending on what they need. You know, the coolest thing I saw was, you mentioned Gong, and in the Outreach platform, one of the things I thought was the coolest thing ever was we had an AI tooling called Maya. And what Maya would do is you're looking at your screen, you're in Outreach or Salesforce or whatever, and the conversation's going, it's being recorded in Gong, but my agent is now my buddy. And they go, Eric just mentioned, what are the other platforms out there and how does your pricing stack up? Boom, I've got a battle card pop up and immediately tells me what all these things are and helps reassert what I'm thinking of from a learning perspective was the most important value prop. Go to the CS side of that. Now I'm doing like an upsell or helping somebody go deeper to help drive more adoption because this person gets it, but these three and other teams don't. And then there's all that space in between. So we as customer education folks, I'm increasingly saying that we're more CX, we're more that experience, We should be building AI agents that are there to be assist to us, but also the customer. And that's I don't mention Gainsight a lot because I work there and I'm still working with them and sponsor, but they have those triggers and those, you know, whatever, tripwires.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, a lot of businesses don't have that data architecture set up in a way to know, well, what are you doing and what did you do now in real time? And if I had that, I can have agents looking at, over your shoulder all the time, go, you screwed up, dude. Okay, no, you didn't screw up. Here, hey, I saw you try to do this a couple of times. Here's a prompt that says, go to this video. It pops up right there in a small context in the window. And then there's a chat below it. Go, oh, I understand. Well, but I'm confused about this. Rather than calling a support agent, making it going to a CSM, that agent is automatically doing a learning intervention that's countering that affliction of, like, I can't do it. No, yes, you can. Look, and I can ask questions to refine my understanding. And I've never talked to anybody, and it's all happened automatically.
Yeah, and it's folks don't necessarily want to talk to human. Like when I'm talking to customer support, like I don't, my goal is not to talk to a human. My goal is to solve the problem I'm having. Like if I need to, you know, get a return done, I'll try to do the thing to talk to a human because that's the fastest way for me to get a return, you know, authorized and done.
Right.
But if it was automatically done, if I could just intuitively do it, that's what people actually want to get to. And I do want to, you know, come back to, you mentioned data, and I think that's the other big core piece where customer education can come into play is with these agents, with this automation, it all comes back to really good, clean data. And when I say clean data, I mean, like, if you are trying to identify a customer, have one way that you identify a customer, like have, this is the ID. And when we say this customer is this identification number, like it should be the same in all your systems. So if you're using, you know, Gong, if you're using Salesforce, if you're using HubSpot, you can use that unified thread. And where I think customer education really comes into play is we are both the data source, but also the kind of authenticators of this is the educationally sound way of how to teach how to do this thing. Yeah. This is how we get there. And good data is the gold mine and something that's hard to do with AI because AI really struggles with knowing what's good data, what's bad data, mm-hmm. what's not even real data. So if we're role is just we are that source of truth. We help make sure that that data is accurate. And we link it to everything else. That is a very important function in a post-AI world.
Wow. Yeah. Impactful. It's really important. Yeah. Data, without a proper data warehouse with things all organized by index, by ID, a lot of this stuff isn't going to go. And sadly, so many companies have problems with that. But we're getting there. We can help those customer ed folks to continue to pound the drum. We can go talk about this for an hour, but let's get to our last thread today, which is probably one of the most important things for us to talk about, Eric, that all of this inclusive, we've talked about AI and such. What this is a groundswell building up towards is the fact that we as a community of practice, and I mean that intentionally, community practice, we've got a lot of players in the customer ed space. What we lack and what was so exciting about seeing the customer education biweekly newsletter was that we get context on in the moment. You know, at C-Lab might do a little bit of that. We've got other communities and Slack channels and stuff. We've got Sedma. But this has always been helpful to us to say, here's what you should be looking at right now. Here's what's important. Learning about AI or whatever. Here's platforms we're using. Here's people that are talking. Here's new emerging leaders that are doing cool stuff. Tell me more about what's going on right now, where you're entering, how you're picking up the torch here and driving the newsletter forward. We're really excited as a whole community to have you here.
Yeah. Well, I think the newsletter is almost a microcosm of like what's happening. There is so much information out there. And I know a lot of us on LinkedIn like joke about the algorithm like hiding important stuff, but it's true. The algorithm hides like really good discussions till like 3 weeks later. And that's one thing that I think is super important with this newsletter is we can surface that information. You don't have to be like me and like live on LinkedIn, like constantly browsing and reading and saving things to like catch the important things. And part of what that is, and part of like one of the things I brought to this new version is, because I talked to Joe, I was like, what are the challenges you ran into? He's like, I got to be always on LinkedIn. And like, I feel like I'm still missing stuff. I'm like, okay, let me leverage both like automation and AI and the people in the community to say, please submit. If you see something interesting, if you get a webinar invite, if you read a good article, if someone writes a good post, please submit that. And as a general call to everyone, please, there's links in every newsletter. There's links all over my page. Please submit newsletter items. It makes it a better newsletter for everyone, including you. And I do give shout outs if you submit. So, the other piece I really like with that too, and probably my favorite section currently, is that like the LinkedIn learning posts where it's the ICs. It's not necessary. It's almost never like these big companies doing stuff. It's not the white papers. It is, hey, I read a great post by Kat that talked about digital CS and like, what does that look like? There's book threads. There's, you know, the meat of it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a massive novel. If it's insightful, if it's going to spark discussion, let's do that. And part of that too is, thanks to the algorithm, I've got more people reading the newsletter than read my normal posts. let's elevate folks who, I mean, might only get one or two likes normally, bring them to that full audience, spark that discussion. And as someone who's an IC and still really, I feel myself as an IC, like, I want to be seen as an expert. I'm doing cool stuff. It's not just as I don't have a fancy title or director role. It's like, I'm in the chair. I'm doing cool things. Let's highlight that. If you're doing cool things, send it a newsletter. If you want to teach something, send it a newsletter. It's still an evolving thing. I'm sure the sections will change. I'm sure all of how we do it will change, but the core of it is every 2 weeks, I want there to be something in your, either if you subscribe on LinkedIn, if you subscribe via Substack, on your email, I want there to be every 2 weeks something of high value to you that you don't have to sit on all these platforms and take in all this flood of information, because we're going to filter it for you. And it's not just me doing it. It's like I'm kind of orchestrating, but there's a team of folks who have helped with editing, who look through the entries and help organize it. I have a whole bunch of automations I'm building that are essentially parsing and categorizing and building out the writing of the newsletter to make it just more sustainable. And that's also where I think this whole AI and automation comes in, is we're making it sustainable for the long term. For, you know, when life happens, I want the newsletter to keep going for me. If I need to take a week off or 2 weeks off, the newsletter can ride on its own. And that's the kind of thing that is made possible. And like, that is, I think, a very important thing. And that consistency too, for the community, is something that, it's why it's bi-weekly, not weekly. Cause I know if it was a weekly newsletter, you'd get three editions and I'd be done. So bi-weekly, I can keep going for a very, very long time.
Definitely. You know, I wanted to inject one thing here that I think is very important, and props to you for doing it. Yeah, I'm sure you know Brian Childs, and one of the things that I've always seen from him, this sounds weird with me saying it, but as a spiritual advisor to our community, Brian has always been a big fan of saying, okay, hey, you've done this thing, but you know what we as a community ask of you? This has value to us. If you can't continue to do that, you got to take a vacation or whatever. Pass the torch, right? That's super important. And we have other communities, Slack communities and stuff. We all can't keep this up on our own. And that's the thing that I know I'm really excited for. That's why we're partnering, that we all can't, we all need to be speciating and doing something to help this community of practice. It's not going to lead itself. What the spirit of C-Lab has always been is it's authentic. If you listen to things, you're going to hear me doubting myself or expressing my emotional impact on something or questioning things or being bold. Adam does this all the time. And that's why we do that. That's the what we want to do with the show is go deeper and spotlight something, the people, the practitioners, the vendors, but in an authentic and real way and go deep. So that's where I appreciate what you're doing here, because you're spotlighting individuals that said, hey, you know, maybe I'm a practitioner and I'm doing something. I'm really excited about it. I want to share it with the world. Why don't you? We want to avoid people that are loud and may not have as much to contribute because, you know, you're building a business. This is where the vendor side becomes really complicated, that we choose at C-Lab vendors to work with to help us sponsor. And what they're sponsoring is the community. Their role is to help say, well, yeah, we fit in here and this is what we're doing. We know there's others that are out there, but those that we work with are the ones that we put a bet on. And we say, you know, let's talk. Skilljar was a sponsor. We've had love for Skilljar forever, right? Why? Because it was approachable, it fit into our market, it did the things we needed to do, and we rallied behind it. And now they're a part of Gainsight, which is really interesting to see that. But then going back to the people, if you are out there and you want to talk and you want to express your point of view, and you have something meaty and you're going to share that, please share it with the world and get on the newsletter, contact us at C-Lab. We're going to be threading these things together and reaching out to others to make that call to action that now we have a drip feed. Now we have both podcast and newsletter. We're in different areas. We've got communities that we're in. This is our base. So all of us think about our community as not one place. Think about it as all these tools we have. Subscribe to the newsletter because our vendors that help us sponsor that. That's an edge we might want to talk about too, is that when we work with vendors, my view is they're here to help, not to commandeer. If you go to a vendor type a sponsored event, you're going to get their flavor of it. But we all need, I'm seeing things that blow my mind right now. When you talk about Pardo, you see Pardo working with Cluso, and then they're both working with Skilljar. And then you've got all in there. Everybody now is building ties to each other in our own community. And we're seeing this really amazing emergence of creativity with AI and everything else. So that's my response. Do you want to talk about what's coming and what's next?
Yeah, totally. And I think the other key thing with all of that too is another factor with this newsletter is we've talked about customer education, kind of how are we viewed by the whole rest of the other fields like sales and C-suite and all that. Like if we have this newsletter, if we have this community, we have these areas where our identity is there, our community is there. Mm-hmm. Not only are we able to like discuss these topics of like, hey, how did you address your company bringing in somebody to be like, hey, we don't need education, we have AI now. Like, this is the place to have those discussions. But also, it's like when I was job searching, it was helpful to have been on a podcast, helpful to be featured in a newsletter, to be part of an active voice. So that's also what I'm trying to give to folks is like, please. Let us elevate you. Let us elevate the field. Yeah. And the other piece that we're working on kind of in the background with the podcast and the like hundreds of newsletters that Joe wrote is actually taking all that information, starting to build some repositories. And I think we'll probably end up hosting it on the community because that seems like the easiest and safest place to put it. But making it so... Okay, if you're trying to search for something, if you're trying to get some insights on something, you can draw on the newsletters, the white papers, the podcast episodes, and it should all be in one place. And that's something I'm super excited for. If you didn't know I was a nerd before, you know now, but it's going to be something I think really cool for this community. And I'm just really excited to share it. And if you want to get involved, like Dave and I have both talked about this, like, reach out to us. There are a million ways to get involved. Like I'm always looking for more editors, always looking for more folks to contribute. And I know Dave is been super welcoming to me on all this stuff. And as more folks enter this community too, we want to make it so it's easy to come on board to this community, and you're welcomed. You can grow. You can see that you're not alone, because a lot of our departments are pretty small. I'm a department of one right now.
Yeah,
we have that community that you don't have necessarily in your org.
Yeah, that's, oh my God. I think this is so important. I talk about this with everybody, that I want to reiterate why I do what I do. I have a full-time job. I work really hard. I have a lot of my plate on my shoulders every day. You know, I care about my team. I care about our company. I care about where we're going. But the foot I have in the outside world, that we've been really fortunate, Adam and I, to see the growth of a podcast that we just did as a goofy thing that we thought would help. And now 7 years later, it's part of it's part of our community. And one of the things I want to be very, very clear on is that, yeah, we've monetized that in a way only in as much to support the stack and be able to provide. We built the community, we built the website, now we're working with you to help you expand that even more. We're going to interconnect all of these dots. So if you're out there wanting to do something, maybe you want to start a show, maybe you want to start, a blog, the opportunities are there. We have a platform right now where you can get into that and be part of it, that we want a community practice and leaders to emerge. And then the spirit of that is to share. So we don't, like you said, we don't really have exposure. I've seen so many people come up and like, oh my God, Dave, I met you or met Adam. And I, like, this is the only place that I can go 7 years ago to learn anything about what we're doing. And I didn't know I was doing this. And I go, cool. Now we've got more opportunities to do that, more places to go, more people to talk with. Get active, because this will help you drive your career. And again, the caveat there being, take your at-bats, take your experiences, bring something to the table, something unique. We see so many people doing things in different ways that you're able to contribute to that. So again, Eric, this is amazing. Get out there, get active, get friends to sign up. We're going to be interconnecting the community that we built on Circle, but we also have other communities out there that we're all going to try to interconnect with. We should be fluidly working with them, but then we're going to have nodal points to do, like you said, the history, the chronicle, the backlog, the data, maybe an LLM, right? Or more. So I'm super excited to be working with you and be partnered with you. And let's go crush it. Let's amp this newsletter up to a much bigger audience.
Yeah. Yeah. And always sharing, reposting, all those kind of things. The algorithm is no one's friend unless you post the things that are and repost the things that are helping you. So, yeah, doesn't cost you anything but a few clicks and probably a little dose of electricity, but we can spare that with some AI prompts. Do one less prompt and you'll handle all your LinkedIn for the day.
Yeah, you're also giving me that Care Bears vibe, right? The sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring, for real though. Yeah, last little plug on the LinkedIn algorithm thread and before the robots find me is the certifications. If you take any of those AI certifications, those, for some reason, the algorithm loves those. So if you have something important to say, certify that you're saying it on LinkedIn and it will go everywhere. So,
well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, we're a little over the hour mark, which is a leading indicator of a great show. Once again, thanks for taking the time, not just to talk about the newsletter, but to assert your role in stepping up and helping out the community in a really large way. It's awesome. I'm happy to work with you. I'm glad we got to meet in person at SEDMA. And we've got time. We're going to do some cool things. So let's take this on out the door. Once again, if you want to learn more, remember, we have a podcast, not only a podcast, it's a newsletter that we're all a part of. At customer.education, you'll find more, and we'll find ways to integrate and make it easy to find the newsletter. We've got community, we've got show notes, we've got all kinds of stuff there. You can go back and see every episode. You can put it on your podcatcher of choice. You know, we're here to help. We're also, like I said, part of the greater customer education community. And this is really part of it. Get out there and meet people. Get out there out of your own. You're not alone. We're here to help. We want to share ideas. We want to work together, particularly AI and other things. How do we expand what we're doing and be more valuable to our companies and to ourselves, right? Remember, I'm out there on LinkedIn every day, pretty much. I've been a little less active lately because I've been very heads down at Atlassian, learning some. I can't wait to tell you the things we're working on. It's so much to be an active practitioner, leader, and learn and grow is what we want to do. Special thanks to Alan Coda. Always our theme music rocks. And if this helps you out, help us out by subscribing in Apple Podcasts, all the other podcatchers. Get onto the Customer Education Biweekly newsletter. We'll have a link here too. And positive reviews, they always help. We've been on that 5-star right on the cusp for really so long. Tell us why you like what we're doing. To our audience, thank you so much for joining us like you do all the time. Get out there, educate, experiment, share, care, find your people. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much, everyone. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.